Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're talking to a real multiple birth parent with children with disabilities.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and more than the occasional F word. It's really not suitable for children, so put your earbuds, headphones, AirPods, whatever you want to call them, put them in. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We're in the day. Yay. It's day time.
Children are at school.
Children are at school.
Can't believe it.
It's been like 11 weeks or something that they've been home, yeah. If you include the school holidays and the week before and the week before that. So,
Yep.
All of Victoria, I think the whole of Australia is back.
I know.
Unbelievable.
You would have heard us talk about it in the snap peek. You would have heard this week. So we don't want to go on and on. But anyway,
we do.
But we do. It's the second day and I can't believe it.
Yes.
The first day I was just wandering around. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, I went to work. So, but it was just that feeling of putting them on the bus and then driving off to work and thinking, I'm not responsible for what happens to them today.
No WebEx at 10 a.m.
No.
No.
Yeah, it was quite a lightness that I didn't realise that I'd been carrying the heaviness.
I just found so joyful today. Millie just got up, dressed, hair up, uniform on, walked out the door.
Yeah, because she's enjoying being at school.
She was happy to go back. I was just like, look at my girl.
I know, it's amazing. Oh. And I also, before we get going today, I wanted to give a big shout out to Laura. If you listen to Monday Snap Pea, you'll know why. But Mandy and I want to say hi, Laura. We know you're in your car.
Yes.
And you are our best friend and we do love you.
Yes.
So for those of you who haven't listened, fake fan, go back and listen on Monday and see why we're shouting Laura out. Okay, so today, as Mandy alluded to, we have three mics, but one of those microphones is in Sydney.
Yay.
And we're in Melbourne. We got a very special guest who we're super excited to talk to.
A real P.
A real P.
Not that the others aren't.
No, everyone's a P, but she is a super P and an original P.
Yes, she is.
She's been peeing for a long time.
Yes, I do like to pee.
And everyone who listens will know about Viv, I think.
Yes.
So welcome, Viv.
Thank you. I kind of feel like I'm just listening to one of your podcasts and now I actually have to talk.
Yeah. So. How bizarre.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, you might like that because lots of people say, we feel like we're talking to you and you don't talk back. But now
this time you can.
Yeah, I can and I will.
Good. We're thrilled to have you. We made this podcast for you.
We really, really did. So super excited to speak to you. We're going to ask you our three questions and then I'm going to ask you how you found us in the first place because I keep forgetting to ask you
even though
we have met you. So our first question, do you have a favourite song or a piece of music that gets you through life?
I like Chasing Cars, Snow Patrol.
Oh, it's such a good song.
The line, and you can sing it with me, It's like, if I lay here,
if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
Yeah, me too. But
I just find you can scream those out at the top of your lungs, driving along in the car, and I don't know, I was into Grey's Anatomy at the time.
Yeah, yes. It was big in Grey's Anatomy.
And that was even before kids. And so the song, when I was pregnant, I'd blare it out in the car and whatever, and then it just sort of stuck with me. Yeah.
It is an amazing song.
And sometimes you do just want to lie there and forget the world.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
But then you've got to get up.
Yes, you do.
You do have to get up. So, especially
when you've got twins.
Yep.
Okay, tell us about awards. Did you win any awards in school?
I did.
Go for it.
I did my bronze, silver and gold Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Oh, wow.
We did get rescued by a helicopter at one point, and I was on the news waving my bra around in my fluoro shirt. But story.
You need to post that link somewhere.
Is it on YouTube? Like that was back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It might not be on.
And
it'd be somewhere.
I was a swimmer. So I was age champion every year at school. So I was a good swimmer.
Wow.
But not as good as my brother who went to the Olympics and Commonwealth Games.
Did he? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You're a swimming family.
Well, yeah, kind of. I kind of gave up because I wanted to do other stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because it takes up your whole life, doesn't it?
Yeah. And big shoulders for girls, not necessarily. Sorry.
Not your thing. Well, lovely awards.
Yeah, they're good awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have hiked mountains and stuff to get those Duke of Edinburgh. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Good on you. I think I'd started the bronze. I don't think I finished it.
No, I didn't do it. But you have to volunteer as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, and I did. I volunteered with disability groups when I was a teenager.
Right.
And worked with like playgroups and stuff, and then I actually worked in that area just casually for a while as well. Yeah.
What did you what do you do for work before you had your children?
So I work part time now for a company called Brand Faction, and we do a lot of work for Kellogg's and Universal Studios. So I used to work at Kellogg's full time.
Right.
Back in the day, and pretty much the best way to describe my job is I was the one who put the toys in the boxes. Well, I coordinated all of that. And right. So a lot of that you work with licensed products.
Yes.
So you might talk to, say, Universal and get their Minions, so Despicable Me 3 or whatever
yeah.
it is, and
yeah.
you yeah. purchase their license to be able to put some of their toys in the box.
Right.
Or
Disney.
I put the Finding Nemo toys in the box and all that sort of stuff. Or do the, you know, the Frozen cereal or the Nemo cereal or
yes.
the
cereal
all the fights. All the fights that you cause because there's
yeah.
one Nemo.
Yeah. So that's what I used to do. And I do that part time, but with COVID I haven't actually been able to go back
yeah.
to it because I said it just do project work.
Yeah,
right.
Because it's just too hard with
yeah,
the kids.
It's just too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, which leads yeah. us to why are you a P?
So I am a P. I have twin girls, one of which has got cystic fibrosis. She's on the autistic spectrum. She has ADHD and also an intellectual disability. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl and we love her to bits. She has a tough little road of life, but she's so happy. She's happy. And, so my story is a bit about how, you know, I didn't get all those diagnoses at once or she didn't get all those diagnoses at once. So it's a, you know, over years, the different things become apparent, and I suppose that's part of my story of how, you know, it all sort of transpired, I suppose.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your pregnancy with the twins?
Yeah. So pregnancy was mostly uneventful. I carried them to 38 weeks.
Awesome.
And, you know, so I couldn't really walk towards the end.
Oh, I bet.
It was like I had bad sciatica.
Yeah.
And I just was quite, you know, just looked like a bus. So, and I had a toddler to chase around.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask.
It was pretty funny and eventful because he would just literally run rings around me, especially at nap time, and I just couldn't chase him.
You couldn't.
Just so big.
Yeah.
But yeah, so pregnancy was pretty okay, but full on because we did have to move house. We'd previously lived in a townhouse. So we had to move house, buy a new car.
Yep.
Moved to a new area, which sort of was tricky because we were moving away from our support networks and what I knew. And we only sort of moved into our new house 6 weeks before.
Yep.
And had to get a new car. I was that woman walking around with two capsules and a car seat saying, if these fit in your car, yes. I'll buy it. And there were two cars. There were only two cars back then that the two capsules and a car seat
could fit
it in.
Yes.
And we had to get like the skinniest car seat we could. Yeah. Like that was what we looked for. Like which one is the tiniest width. Yeah.
People don't understand that, though, that's the kind of stuff you have to do.
Yeah. Not a lot of cars.
Yeah, and that could fit a twin pram in the back.
Yes.
And, you know, and so, yeah.
And are the girls fraternal or identical?
Fraternal.
Uh-huh.
So they're fraternal. So one has two CF genes, which means she has cystic fibrosis, and the other one actually carries one CF gene.
Right.
So when we went through the whole diagnosis of CF, both of them had to go through a lot of the tests because there are other, like you can have a less dominant gene.
Mm. Right.
So, yeah. So when we were going through that process, they both had to have all the tests.
Tell us about, like, you brought them home from hospital, I'm assuming, or did they stay in the nursery at all?
So they spent one extra night in because they were just under the 2.3 grams. Yeah. So I think if you're under 2.5 grams, you go into special care.
Yes. Yeah.
So they went into special care nursery, but not it wasn't called NICU, so special care nursery, and then I went home, and then I went home and got them the next day.
Right.
I went back and got them the next day.
Yeah.
So That was a funny story because when I went, my husband said, look, I'll just pull the car around and you get them ready and then I'll come up and then we'll go downstairs and we'll go. And, you know, I was like, okay, so you bath them, you feed them, bath them, get them dressed and I'm just ready to go. And all my other stuff had been packed up and gone. But one of them just would not stop pooing. She just would not stop pooing and, like, I just couldn't get her ready. And so then I said, you're going to have to come up and help me. I can't get them both ready and in capsule and then you just come up because he was going to sort of pull the car up the front. I said, you have to take one and help me. Anyway, so we ended up putting them back. The hospital said we can leave them there. We put them back to bed and then waited for the next, like, you know, when they wake up, you feed them, you change their nappy, and then you try to get out of there. And so I gave him the one that kept on pooing. I said, you do that one, I'll do this one. And then he had the same problem. And I was like, yeah, it's not easy. Later on we realized it's a CF thing.
Right.
And that really the pancreas doesn't work.
Right.
And so she wasn't absorbing any of the nutrients and fat. And so, but we just couldn't leave the hospital because, you know, you just couldn't take them home in a pooey nappy. So that was kind of one of the first things.
And did the hospital think anything about that or?
Not really because they just, you know, while it was a thing, I just sort of didn't realise. I had no idea. And it's really oily, thick, green poo as well. I know, well, there's a bit of poo. And there's a lot of poo stuff with CF. A lot of children are born with a bowel blockage.
Right.
And that's how a lot of them get born. It's called Meconium ileus. I think I'm saying that right. But we've had quite a fortunate journey with Dorothy's CF, yeah.
Right.
Compared to a lot of other people, okay. You know, right. Where it's that their babies can spend half their first year of life in hospital. With collapsed lungs and, you know, blocked bowels and all sorts of things.
So, were you feeding them? How were you feeding them?
So I started off breastfeeding them with a bottle topper and pumping. Mm. And then I breastfed them for about 4 months with a top up. Oh. And then I got a tooth infection.
Oh.
And I had to take antibiotics. Yeah. And then they said, oh, you know, you can't feed them while you're on antibiotics and you need to pump. And in the end I just went, oh, whatever, can't heal. So I sort of breastfed them for about 3-4 months.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. And the one with CF was very hungry all the time. Mm. And basically until we got the diagnosis, we didn't know that actually she wasn't absorbing the fat.
Right.
So she wasn't really putting on as much weight as she needed to be, and she was hungry all the time. Oh, we used to call her the hungry hunter because she literally ate, you know, 4 times as much as the other one.
Wow.
And she would just have – she was just unsettled. She had tummy aches and she would just poo all the time. And she was just really just – very unsettled until we were able to get the diagnosis and then get her the medication that the enzymes that helped to absorb the fat.
Yeah. Tell us about how that happened.
Yeah, when was that diagnosis?
Yeah.
So I got the call from the pediatrician. I was booked in to see the pediatrician on the Friday, and he rang me on the Monday night and sort of said, I need to see you tomorrow. And I'm like, I can't tomorrow. Like I just can't, because my son he was booked in for a speech assessment. So my son was he just had some speech delays and that sort of thing. Mm. And he was booked in for a 2-hour assessment at 10 a.m. that next day. And I said, look, I just can't. Like, I've got too much, and I'd already booked in a babysitter to look after the girl.
Mm. Yes.
And I was like, I can't, I'm seeing you on Friday. Mm. Like, really, like, I can't see you tomorrow. And he goes, no, you have to. I have to see you tomorrow. And I'm like, no, just can't. Anyway, he then had to sort of start telling me over the phone. From the heel prick test results were through, and one of your daughters definitely has cystic fibrosis and the other.
And how old were they?
They were 5 weeks. So the weeks was going to be on the Friday. So there were 5 weeks.
Yes.
And I just was like, what?
Yeah.
And it kind of, the penny just started to drop a bit because I was like, oh, okay, so that might be why the poo and unsettledness and that sort of thing. But I just was I was in denial pretty much. I was like,
probably shock.
Can't come in tomorrow. So then he said, you have to come tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Oh, God.
Right.
Which is hard to do with 5-week-old twins.
Yes.
Well, it was actually the first time I'd actually taken them out.
Yes.
But I hadn't gone anywhere.
No. It's impossible to do it. That's why. You have to start getting ready at 3 a.m.
Mm. Yeah. And I booked in a babysitter, a carer to come for them so I could take my son to his speech assessment, which was going to be 2 hours from 10 to 12. And, you know, I wanted him to just have a really normal morning. And then I'm like, you know, this pediatrician's ringing me, and it was like, it was 6 o'clock on the Monday night, and saying, I need to see you tomorrow at 8 a.m. Mm. Anyway, so off I go. I can't even remember.
And did you go by yourself?
Yes, because I told my husband.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, it's not in our family.
Yeah.
See, it's genetic. No one in our family. Oh, your side of the family has it. It's not. No, he's wrong.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. So I was off there, and you know, and I'd made a list of the questions I was going to ask him, and, you know, one of which was, do you think the girl's eyes will stay blue?
Like,
ironically, I didn't ask that question.
No.
He my husband had recently started a new job. It was pretty full on, and he was like, no, it's, you know, he had to go to work and that sort of stuff. So off I went by myself. And the pediatrician was almost, he was excited. He was excited because I think this is maybe his first CF diagnosis. Assessing them and saying, oh, yes, yes, oily stools, that sort of thing. And then he's like saying to me, lick her cheek. Like, and I'm like, what? And so he's like, just taste her cheek. And I stick my tongue and I lick my child's cheek and he says, oh, does she taste salty? And I'm saying, oh, yeah.
Oh, Viv.
Yep. Like, I was just sort of agreeing with him that she might have tasted salty. And then he got on the phone and rang the clinic. So basically you have to go to the CF clinic and they kind of induct you into what it's like to be a parent of a child with CF. And so he's ringing them and they obviously didn't answer, so he's left a message. And he's like, oh, I've got the twins here and I've got twin one and twin two. And, yes, twin one is showing significant failure to thrive. Mum says she tastes salty when she licks her and she has oily stools. So, yes, they'll be coming in to see you tomorrow and doing a full induction into CF. And I was like, oh, okay, well. Sure. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow, am I kind of thing. And then he hangs up the phone and he said, now, the nurse from the CF clinic will be ringing you today to take you through stuff and you'll need to go in there tomorrow to get all the medication and everything. And I'm just looking at him going, oh, my gosh. What? Yeah. And then I sort of said to him, oh, what's with the salty to taste thing? And he said, oh, there's an old adage from Northern European folklore, which was an early reference to the disease, recognized today as cystic fibrosis. And I said, oh, okay. And then he started to say, woe to that child, which when kissed on the forehead tastes salty.
Oh.
And then he said, oh, and it goes something like that.
Oh.
And he just stopped.
What a rectum of a doctor.
I know, because when I then Googled the saying, this is the saying, woe to that child that when kissed forehead tastes salty, he is bewitched and soon must die.
Oh, Viv.
That was it.
Fuck and me, that sad. Doctor said that to you. That's terrible.
I know.
Please tell me this doctor was really young. Or really, really old.
No, he wasn't young.
And then this doctor features again in the later diagnoses.
Oh.
I mean, he's not our pediatrician anymore.
No, I wouldn't think.
One place.
But, yeah.
But he, just, you know what I mean? And he was just almost excited to be like, I don't know whether. And then he was like, all I can tell you is you're going to be a very, very busy mum.
What Fuck did off. You do, Viv? How did you get out of there?
Well, I don't know. I remember thinking, is anyone going to help me? But I walked out, carrying capsules, trying to get out the door and just failure to thrive. Because that's what he said. And I was like, fuck you, failure to fucking thrive.
Yeah, I hate that term. I hate it.
I was like,
beautiful, beautiful baby that you love more than anything and just been written down as a failure to thrive.
Yeah, fuck.
I know. That actually hurt me more than any of the other.
Yeah,
yes, because it feels like then that's your fault.
It's a personal judgment on the mother.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and I hate it.
So basically I got in the car, put on my Chasing Cars CD and just drove home and I then had to just try to just be really calm. And I couldn't tell anyone. I couldn't tell Mel, who was at my house. I just couldn't because I knew that I would lose it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would start And I knew I had to turn around and take my son to his 10 a.m. speech.
Yes. Oh, good Lord, what a day.
I walked in the door and, you know, got the girls ready, fed them, you know, changed nappies, put them to bed, and then I, like, you know, took off the speech assessment, which was a two-hour assessment for my son.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just, you know, the speech therapist, I just kept on wanting to say, oh, one of my twins has just been diagnosed.
Yes.
So, yeah, I couldn't. No. I was sitting there going, I can't tell her before. I hadn't even told my husband because he was at work.
Yes.
He didn't even know. So then we went through that. And, you know, at the end of that, she had a list of things. She said, you know, you need to get him a hearing test, and he may need to have an assessment with the multidisciplinary team, you know, but, you know, I'd say he might have some auditory processing issues and this sort of thing. And so I just, like, I got in the car and I left there and I was just going, oh, my gosh.
And you're managing a toddler, like, just even people picture, just managing a toddler is hard enough.
Yes, yes.
For a two-hour appointment.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. So that was just the worst day of just emotions. It was just hard.
Oh, yeah. And did you know a lot about cystic fibrosis, or did you just sort of know nothing?
Yeah. Nothing. Like, embarrassingly nothing.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not embarrassingly. It's just, you know, you don't know. You don't know till you've affected by it, are you?
Yeah, I'd heard of it. But I didn't really know much at all.
Mm.
So,
and then you went to the clinic the next day. Is that right?
So yes. Then I got home and I'd missed a call from the CF clinic. Then I rang them back and she said, "Oh, you're going to need to come in tomorrow, and you and your husband have to come in." And I'm thinking, "Oh gosh, he's just got this new job," you know. So anyway, I rang him. I can't even remember. I can't remember whether I rang him or I waited for him to get home, or I think I did. I must have rung him because he ended up, you know, getting the day off work.
Yeah.
And off we went to the clinic. So off we went to the hospital. So our first trip to the hospital and the first not being able to find a park. And
Welcome to your new life.
2 hours. Zone,
yeah,
and we were parked miles away in a two-hour zone.
Did you have both the girls with you?
Yes, so we had to take both.
Yeah,
you've got to be breastfeeding them.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes. So, but luckily they were so little. I had one of those prams that I put them both in.
Squeeze them in. Yeah,
crib pram.
Yep,
you know?
I used to do that with the boys. Yeah.
So they were just both in there, and off we went. And so, yeah, basically it was actually amazing. They do this induction where you meet the gastroenterologist, the respiratory specialist. They have a social worker there. You meet a physiotherapist. Wow. You meet nurses, and you get this great big folder. And you walk away and, you know, they've told you, you walk away with all this medication and, they basically, it's like, you know, when you start a new job and you meet the person in HR and you spend 2 hours with all the people, it was like that. It was kind of like we were being inducted into a new job, which really we were. You know, and they pretty much told us how it is. Like they said, right, we're pretty sure she's pancreas insufficient because not all people with CF are.
Right.
So they said you need to start giving her these enzymes before food.
Okay.
So at 5-6 weeks old, she was having on apple puree enzymes before every feed.
Oh,
which was really hard because, you know, night feeds with twins and
exhausting. I couldn't even remember vitamins, let alone.
Oh, you must have been so tired.
And the enzymes and, yeah, and so the other thing they do is they put the children, because a lot of the kids can end up with, kids with CF will get infections in their lungs and they give you antibiotics as a preventative, so to stop getting staph infections. So for the first 2 years of life, and every clinic's different. So the first 2 years of life, they are on an antibiotic called flucloxacillin, which is a pink antibiotic.
Yep.
And you have to give it half an hour before food.
Oh, even when you're breastfeeding in the middle of the night?
Yes. Oh, so you twice a day, half an hour before food. And so
you must have had to have a real regimented, you can't sort of you demand feed so much, can you? You must have to decide when they're going to eat.
Yeah. So I'd try and sneak in when she was asleep and give it to her, and then sometimes it'd spit out and everything was covered in pink.
Yes, it would have been. Yeah.
Pink medication, and you go home and you've got boxes of it and you've got to make it up at home. So you don't go to the chemist. You've got your syringes and your boiled water and you're shaking up these things, and you've got, you know, you're like a little lab of medication.
And
also she had to have vitamins, Pentavite, which is bright orange. And
smells. Does smell.
Yes. Mm. And so she had to have that as well as the enzymes. And we also then had to start physio, which is, you know, you pound on their chest.
Yes.
In order to break up the mucus. So so I'll just read out what cystic fibrosis is.
Yes,
so cystic fibrosis is an inherited disorder that causes severe damage to the lungs, digestive system and other organs in the body. Cystic fibrosis affects the cells that produce mucus, sweat and digestive juices.
Mm.
These secreted fluids are normally thin and slippery. It's an inherited life-threatening disorder that damages the lungs and the digestive system.
Mm.
So basically the mucus plugs up tubes and ducts in the passageways.
Mm.
So symptoms vary and can include a cough, repeated lung infections, inability to gain weight and fatty stools.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And then while you're all doing this, when your babies are 5 and 6 weeks old, how did you then just completely be, I'm never going to the multiple birth group, I'm in a different world to everybody else, like your previous mum's group, or what happened with all that and your friendship circles? And
it really did fall apart because I, you know, I did become a bit neurotic. You know, people came to visit the girls, and if they had a snotty nose or their child had a snotty nose, I turned them away at the door.
Yeah, it's not neurotic. It's not neurotic. That's life-saving. Look now what people are doing in this pandemic. That's how you've been living your life, Viv.
I lost friends.
Friends, I bet you did, yeah.
Yeah, well, then they didn't understand what it's like to look at their baby and think this could kill them.
Yeah, and I would be very overprotective of her, and I wouldn't give her to people. I would, you know, I'd give them the other twin.
Yes.
I'd say, you know, and so it was really hard because I completely started over functioning in regard to just, you know, the way things had to be.
Yeah.
She has to have her flucloxacillin at this time.
Yeah.
You're on hyper alert.
Yeah.
These enzymes, she needs this, and then we had this really strict routine. And
oh, you would have.
I couldn't. The twin mothers group I went to a couple of times, and then I just couldn't.
No.
And I've got some stories later on in relation to that when the diagnosis of autism was presenting itself, the characteristics. And really she did show characteristics of she just needed routine.
Yeah.
And we had someone at our house who wasn't the norm or didn't do it the way she was used to, she would be unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
She'd carry on. She'd fuss. She wouldn't eat. Mm-hmm. And so some of that then turned into just not really been able to have people over, or if they had to be done a certain way. And so I became quite anxious and quite,
of course,
just it has to be done this way.
Yes. Well, and it did have to be done that way.
Yeah, but then from the outside, people are like, wow, you know.
Yeah, she's over the top.
I bet they said things like that.
You must have felt lonely.
Lonely. I cannot tell you how lonely it felt because I didn't want to tell people because I didn't want to burst into tears.
Yes, I understand.
And my son was starting, because we'd newly moved into the area, my son was starting preschool.
Yep.
And I just couldn't, I just had to keep up this face because I knew that if I said anything, I would just burst into tears.
And so people want to talk to you. Look at your twins. Look how beautiful they are and you're lucky and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And well, you can't share.
Thing, I not everyone knew I was the twin mum because a lot of the time I don't know what they saw me as because I really struggled getting my twins out of the car and my son in preschool.
Absolutely.
Impossible.
So I would pull up out the, like, almost on the nature strip out the front of preschool.
Yep.
And I would leave girls in the car, sometimes one, sometimes I'd pull one out.
Definitely.
And leave the other in the car. And sometimes I'd say to someone, can you just take him in?
Yep.
And I was like that woman with the big eyes, wired is a better word.
I relate to that, and I didn't have your journey. So,
And
the things that you think, I'll never leave my children in the car when I went to kinder drop off. And then you're saying to some dad who you've met four times, can you stand here? Stand here. Don't leave my car. And you're going in. So, you know,
And I'd say, I just can't carry. And sometimes I'd have him and one on either hip.
And you've got fruit duty or whatever.
Yeah.
And trying to put them in the pram. And the preschool we went to was like, I picked it because it was great for a boy. But it was just like, it was like it was right in the bush.
Right.
So it was just, there was no pathway to really.
Oh, yeah. You needed to
put the pram in and all that sort of stuff. It just wasn't simple.
Oh.
So that was tricky.
Very tricky. Yeah. Was your family around? Are they close?
Our family, my husband's family lives interstate and they helped. They ended up coming to Sydney and helping us. But my family were, you know, they weren't around so much. They tried to help sometimes, but it was really hard. You kind of needed to be in the thick of it.
Yep.
Yes.
Or like when people came in and just sort of helped for a day, it was almost more stressful because they just didn't know the routine and they didn't know the enzymes.
Yeah,
and they
it's
didn't,
harder.
And then you had to do more explaining. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just easier to not have, it sounds terrible, but it was sometimes easier not to have the help because
I think people relate to that.
And just knuckle down and do it yourself. Yeah.
And probably I think from speaking to you and listening to you, you know, because you and I can communicate outside the podcast, you felt really numb through all that too because you have to protect yourself in order to keep parenting.
But basically the day after the day of the double, like just the day of everything my whole world fell apart and I went to bed not knowing what to read about, whether to read about cystic fibrosis or, you know, speech delays or whatever it was, I just started numbing myself.
Yep.
And I just had to get through.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of work on that over the years, and Brené Brown's become my friend.
Yeah.
And my person online in regard to that, and I realized that that's what I was doing. I just numbed. And the problem with numbing is you numb the good but you also numb the bad. Mm. You numb the bad but you also numb the good.
Which
means that, you know, it's hard to enjoy some of the little things because you just the bad, nothing's taking effect. You're just going through the motions and you're not really
present.
You're not there.
Plus also you're exhausted because you're not sleeping, so your brain's not working properly anyway. and you're up half an hour before you suspecting they're going to wake up.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other level of exhaustion, probably made you numb as well, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes me numb.
We did get paid help, so I did get people in who were paid to help, because I just knew I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No.
And so we did have I had two people, different people who would come in and help me, and they were great and they got into the routine of it all.
Great.
And
you could trust them. Take over.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes it's easier to pay people than someone who's going to pop in once a week on a Wednesday. Oh, but I'm not coming this week because there's a really great market up in the hills. Like, okay,
well, it's guilt-free, isn't it?
Yeah, it's guilt-free. Yeah.
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 Yeah, so I had two pretty people who just were my people who helped, and then my mother-in-law was there, and even my father-in-law was helpful. He would just hold a baby between feeds.
Well, that's helpful, isn't it?
Whatever works.
And, you know, whatever.
They all go through a steep learning curve too, these older men.
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay, Grandpa, you're in.
They didn't have to do anything parenting in their
that's
own.
That's right.
He just used to sit there and hold a baby.
Yeah.
Which is lovely because he's quite bonded to the girls now.
Yes.
Was there in those early days.
Yeah, that's right. I went through everything,
So you had that cystic fibrosis diagnosis, which of course is, apart from the everyday, it has it's a frightening future sometimes, even though we don't look to the future. So you've got that in the back of your mind. And then when did these other little warning signs come up?
So my daughter ended up with a urinary tract infection. So it was my son's probably a few years down the track, maybe he was his, I think it was his kindy orientation.
Yep.
And again, I had a carer and she'd done a poo and I was like, oh, I'm not going to, do I change that and be late or do I just leave the carer? And I did, I left it for the carer. And when I came back, it was still there because she used to take herself away.
Yes.
And you know, she'd go in the corner and you wouldn't even know a nappy and whatever. Anyway, she ended up getting a urinary tract infection and which we didn't know what it was at first because, you know, she presented with a fever. And she was, you know, vomiting and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so
you don't realize. Yep.
So we took her to the local hospital and then they were like, look, we can't really because we can't rule out CF. You need to take her to the hospital where she's got CF clinic people. So then we took her there and I just was like, she just was so stressed and so anxious at the time. And look, it had been a build-up of things because whenever we went to hospital, they take a sputum sample and they take blood and everything. If we were even driving on the route on the way to hospital, she would vomit. From anxiety.
Yes.
Poor baby. And how old was she at this age? She was.
So I sort of started noticing around 12 months that she started refusing different foods and she was just one really key thing that I noticed compared to her. Like, and I had the twin. Like, I had the.
Yes. The compare and contrast.
Right.
Yep.
Who is doing all of this stuff and sharing. One of the key things. A characteristic of autism is they may not want to share joy. So, for instance, when I gave her I gave her little Dorothy the dinosaur stuffed toy, and she just wanted to be with that toy by herself. Whereas the other twin, I gave her a little pig, which walked and it would go and walked, and she would be like looking at me, going, "Mommy, look!" And it's that. Mummy, they want to show you the joy.
Wow, that's really, whereas I hadn't thought about that.
A characteristic, of autism is they just want to be within the joy within themselves.
Yep.
And that was, and I actually was videoing them just interacting with these toys. And then when I looked back and watched the video, I was like, oh, wow, okay. And that's when I kind of, the penny was dropping for me. And it was also about people who weren't, if people weren't in your lives on a regular basis, she just didn't want those people. She didn't want those visitors. She didn't want the change of routine.
Yeah.
She wouldn't, just clothing, any, she needed soft clothing.
Yeah. Yep.
She refused. She wouldn't wear shoes or socks. That was a big one.
Yeah.
I'd be out and about with her and they'd be like, aren't her feet cold?
Mm.
Aren't her feet cold?
Yep.
What are shoes on? Mm. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm sure they are, but like.
Aren't you minding your own business? Aren't you minding your own business?
I used to lie and tell people, oh, yeah, I forgot her shoes. Or,
oh,
you know, I'll have to pack a spare pair in the car. And then I'd be like, oh, no, here comes that woman again. She's going to ask me why she doesn't have shoes on.
Yep.
And I'd be like, oh, I have to avoid her because she's going to think I'm just such a nightmare. But when really I just wanted to say, no, she won't wear socks or shoes. Okay, yes, I'm a bad mother. Yes, her feet are probably cold.
Yeah, and yes, it's none of your business.
I went to a playgroup once and that's all they said to me the whole time.
People who are not, we can go to the urinary tract infection, but people who don't have peas in their life, listen to what Viv just said, because sometimes when you're at playgroup and someone comes along that you don't know and their children doesn't have shoes on or is insisting on wearing a hat even though it's a beanie, well, even though it's 40 degrees
or whatever.
Don't comment on it. No. Get to know that family first, okay? Because it's really hurtful and we won't go back to your playgroup.
No, we won't.
And you're going to miss out on meeting the most fucking amazing people that you've ever met. Anyway, back to the urinary tract infection. Sorry.
Anyway, she ended up having to go into hospital and she wouldn't eat. She was screaming the whole time. She wouldn't sleep. And I was just saying, oh, yep, she's – and I'd already had these – feeling I had these, she was just presenting with the different characteristics I said something to the nurse and you know they treated me quite badly, like they would say things like you know when they're talking about your this is Viv and this is her daughter and she's got cystic fibrosis but mum she might also have autism. And then I'm like, yeah, okay. So I'm thinking they think I'm crazy, so whatever.
Yes.
So, I hate that feeling.
Oh, I hate that feeling so much.
And so I just sort of went, okay, right, they don't believe me. They think I'm crazy, right?
Mm.
And in the end I literally went – when I found out – because at first we thought it was CF-related, but then when we found out it was a urinary tract infection, I went and found the doctor – and I said, we're leaving. My daughter's not going to get better here.
Yeah.
She needs to be somewhere where she can sleep because she was in a room of six other people and she was scared of men.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
She was scared of men who, especially men that had beards. And so we had this family next to us and she would freak out and she would just start screaming.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't drink out of their when you go to hospital, you have to have out of their bottles.
Yep.
Yeah. She wouldn't eat their food. She wouldn't have their bottles. So I was like smuggling in the bottles she was used to. They were like, oh, you're not meant to do that. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Why? And in the end, you're not meant to not feed children either. No. So let's just let her eat.
And I was just like, she's not going to get better here. So we're leaving. So then we left, but she needed to be on a drip. So we went back to the private hospital we were going to have a private room.
Yep.
And so then she went in there and that was fine. And except we got the pediatrician that we'd got.
Right.
Who in his, when we were discharged in his notes, he wrote, because I'd also said, look, I have a feeling she might, you know, she's shown some characteristics of autism. And then he wrote in his notes that she waved goodbye and looked him in the eye.
Oh, good.
Okay, fine. Nothing.
Oh, right. Oh, well, if only we knew that was such a simple diagnostic tool.
Oh, no. I know.
You wouldn't think that person had been to medical school for 12 years.
No. So, and I took her to one of the most renowned speech therapists around as well, and she also said no, she didn't think she had autism and that again that you know
yep
that wasn't the case. And I was with a carer at that time, and we were sitting in the room and I had both girls, and the carer turned to me and said, she just looked out the window and pointed out the window and said bird. Mm. And I went, she did not. And then the speech therapist looked at me, looked at the carer, and it was like they had this look.
Like, see, this mum's making it
and
up.
I was like, and I have debrief, like the carer's actually my friend. Yeah, sorry. Mel, we kind of
She's been on the journey with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she, you know, she just that for me, and then the speech therapist was like, nah. So then I actually just stopped.
Yep.
Yep. Thinking about that.
And stopped and just started to do everything I possibly could that I knew, or the therapy that I could do, because I was having a similar journey. My son, he'd started doing speech therapy, yes, and all that, yep, sort of stuff now. So I just started doing everything that I was doing with him, with, yep, her.
What a woman.
And just started working through, you know,
yep, yep,
all that stuff. To the point that when I did go back to the other speech therapist, she was like, she realized, oh, she was wrong. Mm. And even the CF clinic, they realized they were wrong as well, but I just stopped saying it, yeah, because they just didn't want to listen to me. And I knew it in my heart, yep, and in my head, and I just thought, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they,
yep,
think. And I love her, and I'll just do whatever I need to do to get her the best help, you know, the best, yeah,
start.
That's right.
Things that she can, resources, tap into the resources and tap into whatever I know, you know, to work with her. We had swings in the house. We had, like,
yeah,
you know, we were doing brushing with her to get her to wear shoes and socks.
Right.
And,
you know, it's a lot.
We just did lots and lots of things.
Did you have funding? Did you have FACSIA funding or anything? Because that was before NDIS.
So there was, what's it called? Is it FACSIA?
Yeah, FACSIA. Mm-hmm. There was FACSIA, that money that was, yeah, to use before they were seven.
Helping kids with autism package. Yep. So
yes, there was.
Yep. I did go and see a different pediatrician who was known to just give a diagnosis. And he was right. So, you know, I just went in and I had an appointment with him, and I felt like I sold her down the river, because I walked in there and I just said, said all the characteristics of the, you know, the things that the boxes that you have to tick to get the diagnosis, which she was showing all of those things anyway.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so he basically said, what do you want out of this appointment? And I said, I would quite like a diagnosis of autism so that I can, you know, get the right
early,
you know,
intervention,
get the right help and that sort of stuff.
That was all happening at the time. I could count 10 friends that were doing that. It was, that's the desperation to get help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, and then he just wrote me a letter.
Yeah.
And I was able to then tap into the funding.
Yeah.
So,
Did you go to an early intervention centre, or did you just have that alongside kinder, or what did that look like?
So, yeah, we did. We did all the, like, whatever we could get into, we did. So we did a lot of OT and speech, and we did groups. Yeah. So, you know, I had play groups that we joined through Aspect. I pretty much had my name down for everything.
Yeah, yep, good
and
on
we
you.
Went along and did whatever we could. But, of course, I had the twins.
Yes.
So that kind of made it hard, because one was welcome and the other not so much. And so that was a bit of a juggle.
Yes.
Because I had to take one, and then I had my son as well.
Yes.
Who was in kindy, and that year was tricky as well, trying to get him to kindy.
And then you see other families who just go to kinder. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, oh, my God, that's all you do? And they're like, yep, and then we're going to the shops. And I was
is everyone
just
meeting,
like,
in the park afterwards for fairy bread? You're
no,
like, no, we're not.
I'm going to the next appointment.
Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And so,
yeah, and I didn't want to be that, like some people I told and some people I didn't, and you know you just kind of want to be normal and fit in to what the other parents are doing, but I found it really hard to even connect with what they were talking about.
Yes. Just, it's a foreign country.
Yep. And then so on top of all of that, you then had an intellectual disability diagnosis. And ADHD, when did they come?
Well, look, basically what happens is because you need reports so that preschool and kindy and schools can tap into funding, you need the right reports.
Yep.
And because my initial diagnosis was just a letter, I then needed her to go through the, like, multidisciplinary team.
Yep.
Diagnoses and all that sort of stuff, and that's what they need to get funding.
Yep.
And so then out of those reports it comes and it gives you an IQ ID number. But you need a preschool report and then the school report, and it does take a while because you really don't know.
No,
it and, does and take that's a while. The hard thing is that they, you know, they say, okay, let's get going on, she's got delays, but let's get going on the therapy, and, you know, she may end up in mainstream and with help, or you don't really know what your journey is going to be until you're on it. And
it changes.
That's hard as well, because there's no, like, you don't have a crystal ball, so you don't know which way it's going to go. So, you know, you're looking at mainstream schools with support, you're looking at special needs schools, because you really don't know what the outcome's going to be. And I think that's hard as well, because you've got just that extra work to do along the way. And because I had twins as well, they both went to the same preschool.
Yeah.
And Dorothy had a shadow at preschool. So, but we were paying out of pocket for that, $150 a day out of pocket.
Wow.
Plus the $50 a day or whatever it was for preschool.
Yeah.
And then that continued. We did that as well for kindy. Because I just didn't feel like I wasn't ready for her to go to be apart from her sister.
No, of course not. It's massive.
It's massive.
And I wasn't, and I also wasn't ready for her sister to just be shoved out of the car at kindy, because I had to get the other one to the special needs school or whatever school it was. So I often shadowed, or I had a carer shadow her, and that was the first year of kindy, and that was really hard because someone had to be with her the whole time.
Yes.
She wasn't safe, you know, and even then she loves water, and one day she disappeared. And we thought, oh, my gosh, where's she gone? And she'd actually locked herself in the teacher's toilet bathroom, and she was having a fabulous time playing in the water.
Who needs painting? I'm happy in here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she was flicking around and she flooded the whole bathroom and had a fabulous time in there. Oh. And everyone was frantic looking for her, thinking, oh, my gosh, she's left the school. She needed to be watched and still does.
And how did that feel, I'm projecting, seeing all the other mums leaving and you were staying?
Yeah, it was hard because a lot of them didn't even notice. They didn't really know.
Just in there. I'm heading off to the gym.
Yeah, I'm going to have a coffee.
Yeah.
Which is no offense. We've all been that person. I was that person. Yeah. And I was never heading off to the gym.
2004, Kate.
But 2004, Kate.
No gym.
Yeah.
People assumed I was just staying to help with reading groups.
Yeah. A lot of the time. That's right. Yeah.
And so a lot of them didn't notice. Like a few knew, but not all of them did. And so, yeah, like, you know, I just, it was tricky.
And it's lonely because mums, if you're not working or if you're working part time, let's have a coffee on Tuesday after drop off or, you know, let's go for a little walk and then go to that coffee shop and you just miss out on all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you definitely do.
You definitely do.
Yeah. Very lonely. Mm. So, yeah. And so then you made the good move, I'm going to assume, to special school.
So kindergarten, with kindergarten you get, well, with school, you get reports. And I hadn't actually, it was a private school, so she didn't have an IEP.
Right.
Yep. I hadn't really, you know, I could have got one and I just hadn't really gone through that, which is an individual education plan, which would mean that she's not necessarily assessed in the same way as all the other kids.
Yep, yep.
And I just didn't really realise the importance of that. And when her first report came home, Pepper came home and she had her report and she was so excited to have a report and I was looking through it. And the school, when they give out A, B, C's and D's, they'll say, okay, we've got, you can see five kids got an A and four got a B, six got a C and one got a D. And when I was looking through Pepper's report and they were in the same class, I was looking through it and I was, you know, gosh, amazing. Look at you. You got an A for music and you got a B for art. And but as I looked through it, I could see there was one child that was getting a D and an E in all these subjects. And this makes me cry. And I'm going to be really happy for Pepper.
Oh, I know.
And as I'm flicking through it, it dawns on me that the child getting the D's and the E's is Dorothy.
Yeah.
And I just was like, that broke me. That just absolutely broke me because I was like, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? Like I just couldn't believe it. I was just so gutted that they would do that. Yeah. And when I did broach it with them, it was like, well, that's what we have to do. They have to be graded according to
Do they have to put it on a report for everyone to virtually work out and see, though? No. They could have rung you two weeks before. The report's going to look like this. Do you want one? We'll just do it individually for you and then we'll talk about things. They don't actually – people can do things differently.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I was so upset. And then I did go to a birthday party and I didn't – and she didn't go to that – she didn't go to that party. I took Pepper only. Yep. And sometimes, you know, and she wasn't – and that was the other thing. She wasn't always invited to stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. But she was in preschool.
Yeah.
But then when it moved to kindy.
Yeah.
And look, and sometimes people would invite her, but it was an indoor play centre. Yes. And I couldn't pay her to an indoor play centre because of the snot and the So I was like – anyway, we were sitting there and a lot of people didn't know that I was – mum of twins or they you know they don't know and there was a mum talking to me about it and going one poor child and,
my gosh
and so they were talking about it
yes,
and I was
they were.
Saying and I just said to her I know that was my daughter and
she was you.
And that really, really affected me and that was when I thought I've got to put her in special needs school. I just couldn't cope in that environment anymore. And there are a couple of other things. And I mean, look, it's a beautiful school, but there was a, she did, when they did French in kindy, she didn't sit in for French. Yep. So it was great. She didn't get a mark for French.
Yep.
But there was a French class around Easter, and in the class they made Easter bunny bunnies. And there was a photo of all the back of the heads of the kindy, and every child in the class had bunny ears except Dorothy.
Yeah.
And I said, why didn't she have bunny ears on? And she said, oh, well, she doesn't do French. They pull her out for French.
I couldn't possibly make an extra one. I'm sure the teacher made a bloody pair when they were showing it. And this is what we're talking about with inclusion, right?
Yes.
So it's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Someone think about it. Hard.
Think about it.
And she kept on trying to steal Pepper's bunny ears.
Of course. Why didn't she have them?
And you want to be included.
Why doesn't she have them? And I'm like, exactly. Like, the teacher would have made a set. Or just because she doesn't do French, she could have done it that day.
Yes.
Because it wasn't like
that's
they were
right.
counting.
It's a fun day. Yeah.
Bunnies. So furious.
And see, from the outside, that's very little. But from when your
huge.
Family, it's enormous.
Yeah. It's enormous.
Peaches, listen to this.
Yeah, please listen.
Which you do. The peaches do.
We've had many, many, many tears about fun things that have happened while we've been in learning support.
Yep.
And and I know sometimes you can't fix it, but sometimes you really can.
Yeah.
Yep. So please listen.
Yeah. I know. I know. It's just.
So tell us about moving schools then. What was that like? How did that go?
So then, look, we'd actually already picked out a school for her to go to in year one.
Yep.
Because we knew it was kind of it was just that thing where I just wanted all my three kids to be at the same
school. Yeah, totally. Start school together and get that photo of your twin girls. And
And there's a school photo story too, because we pulled her out before the school photos, and I was like, I kept on going to the people in the office going, when are the school photos? Are they going to be?
Yeah.
And I was like, can I just get a photo? Can I just get them to do a photo? And then they're like, look, school photo days on this day, why don't you just, like, you know, she can leave the school and go to another school, and then on school photo day, just bring her in for the day and dress her up, and she can be in the school photo, the class photo.
Yeah.
And I'm going, right. So you really understand how autism works.
Yeah.
That I'm going to move her to another school.
Not happening.
And then move her back.
No.
School photo day. I'm just going to bring her in and dress her up in the uniform for the day for a photo.
Yeah, confuse her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So her beautiful teacher, and her teacher was like, she was beautiful as much as she probably wasn't really trained to deal with I suppose the degree of trickiness that my daughter has. And so she let me. I made a little placard. I set up some benches, and I went and got my own photo, and that photo just. Oh, it just means the world to me because it's my little girls in kindy together.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And so much.
It means a lot.
It does mean
I can't believe how much a photo of my girls together in kindy meant to me.
Oh, no. I can. 100%. And all the
twin
mummies will get that.
100%.
Because if that's not your story, you know, twins just go and do everything together all the time.
Yeah.
You get all that stuff all the time.
You don't think about it.
You don't think about it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And Peppa, she loves her sister, and she couldn't understand why she when we were talking about kindy, I said, you know, Dorothy may have to go to another school.
Mm.
She was like, but why? And she was like, oh, but Mum, I want to go to a special school too. I want to go to a special school.
Millie's like, she's got the best school.
Listen to
the things they do.
And then she started to understand a bit, because we could have those conversations and say to her, look, you know, she's just going to be, it's going to be better where she is. And, and it was also for her psychology that she kind of had to understand a bit and go through that journey, and she gets it. She gets it now, definitely. Yeah. But back then she just couldn't see that much different.
Mm. No, it's a very big deal. And I think maybe we need a story from a twin to tell us how that feels.
Yeah, been through it. Yeah. So,
Well, Pepper would love to tell her story. Yes. She should be in the siblings one.
She's got a lot to
we've
say.
We've got a lot of time.
I think one day
we've got years. So. People want us to do it for 50 years, so don't worry. we'll do it.
We will do it. We will get to Sydney one day.
So then we sent her off to special school, and that was kind of tricky because she then got quite sick because within special schools there's a lot more mucus.
The hygiene's not the same. Yeah. No, they can't help it.
She got staph infections and she got E. coli infections. Yeah, and then she ended up, she got a Pseudomonas infection, which is quite bad for a CF child. Mm. And so then, you know, she had a lovely time at that school, beautiful school, but we ended up then having to move her to another smaller special school where she is now.
Right.
Yeah.
And they only have 40 kids. And
yes. And is she happy at school?
Yes. Yay. Yes. She's very happy. She's happy to go. Like at the first special school, she had a few issues. Some of the bigger kids, because when they're really little, some of the bigger kids, someone bit her.
There's lots of behaviours.
She had a bit of trauma and stress going, and she didn't really want to go. But she liked it.
You realise you're swapping one set of things for another set of things. For me, it was the enormous amount of swearing that she learned. That I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah,
here we go.
No place is perfect.
No, they're not.
So you make it work, but it's,
as long as she was more safe. Yeah, as long as they're smaller happy. School now.
Yeah.
Well, she got a beautiful teacher who was a bit OCD with cleaning and washing.
Perfect.
A clean teacher. We love them.
Clean.
He was like, yes, now we have a reason to be
Well, everyone's joined the train now, haven't they? They're all on the hand washing train. Yeah, exactly. The whole world.
That's the thing with COVID is we were ahead of the curve on all
you
that.
You really
clean.
Were.
You totally were.
Hand wash Glen 20.
How did that feel? Because I felt a little bit like that, but you would much more so. Did you want to scream out to everyone on Facebook?
I've already been doing this.
I did a bit on my own personal one.
Did you?
And there are a lot of memes within the CF world about people. This is our normal.
Yes.
This is our normal that we can – there's bugs and germs out there that can kill,
every day.
Or seriously make someone with CF very sick. This is our normal.
Yeah.
Tell
so
us
maybe
about-
now we'll all just stay home when we're sick and we'll keep washing our hands.
Totally.
Wouldn't that be a great thing that 2020 brought to the world?
Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement in the CF community?
Yeah, look. When you first have a child diagnosed with CF, you sort of throw yourself into that community and you do a lot of the walks and the fundraisers and all that sort of stuff, and it can be quite exhausting.
Yes.
And then when you've got other, I was always conflicted as to what charity do I support.
Me too.
Or what cause do I look at?
Yes.
Genes for Genes Day or organ donation or cystic fibrosis or, ASD, or I was just like, oh my gosh, all these things.
Yeah.
And so I just had to sit down and think, well, what's going to prolong my daughter's life?
Yeah.
And what's going to make her life just better for her? And one of the things is, being able to breathe and being able to is a key thing. And so there's a lot of medication, a lot of research with some drugs for cystic fibrosis. Yep. And my daughter's never going to be the one picked for the trials because she's, she's not easy to necessarily manage because there's a lot of things that they have to, a lot of hoops they have to jump through and blood tests and lung function tests. And
hard so, when you've got an ID and autism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes it trickier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the key thing is like, well, let's get these drugs on the PBAC and then possibly on the PBS.
Yep. Everybody can have access to them.
Yeah. And so I worked really hard with a drug called Orkambi, and my mother-in-law and her church in Hervey Bay, they got on board, and we all wrote letters to the PBAC and about the drug. And yeah, we just did a lot of we actually did a protest and went to the Vertex building and all that sort of stuff, which they were, you know, they were okay with, because basically they have a drug, their drug costs about $285,000 to $300,000 a year per patient. Wow. And it was about them bringing their prices down, or for the government striking up a deal with them.
Yeah.
So that we could actually get access to this drug.
It's a huge moment.
Yeah. Did you get access to the drug?
Yes. So there's a pretty cool story to that, because for a while there we didn't think we would, and the drugs are getting better and better, and we kind of thought, well, you know, we'll just keep fighting for this one, and then a better one will come along, and then we'll fight for that one. And, you know, we were harassing a lot of the politicians on Facebook and online and all that sort of stuff. And then the whole ScoMo got voted in, and, you know, he did the Stephen Bradbury and got the job.
He really did.
I think that they needed a good, they needed a story. They needed a good.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And
perfect timing.
And sorry, anyone who's listening to this, but this is my take on it. They were like, oh, you know, and we were harassing them. We were harassing them on Facebook. We were stalking them. We were, you know, going in.
Advocating like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all advocating. And there was a whole lot of us. There was this whole group of people. Like, you know, there was a mum who did a story with the project. And
that's good.
What really got
put the pressure on.
Good.
We were just putting all the pressure on. And then I think they said, well, what's going to make these people stop harassing us? And we need a really good story. And yeah, they passed it, and he had a press conference, and I got to go along to that press conference, which was kind of quite hilarious.
Wow.
Because it was on the day that it was the weekend that my daughter decided to she grabbed my phone and throw it in the swimming pool.
Of course.
So one thing you do not, so people with children with, you know, any additional needs, you can't say, don't run. You have to say walk.
That's right.
Yes.
They just hear that.
Yes.
Run.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you say don't run, they hear run. And I said, don't throw my phone in the pool.
Okay, mum.
Rookie mistake.
I think she heard throw my phone in the pool.
Yes.
Anyway, so that was the weekend that we were meant to be meeting and going to this press conference and being involved with this whole hullabaloo. And when you do meet the Prime Minister, you get sent an area of where they're going to be, and you don't actually get the actual location until closer to the time.
Right. So you needed your phone?
Yes. And so I just scooped it out of the pool and put it in rice, and I was like, I can't deal with this now. I'm just going to put it in the rice and it's going to sit through a weekend, because when I have my meltdown that my phone is no longer working, I can't have anyone around.
Yeah, fair enough. Meltdown. And you got to keep it together for ScoMo. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, we had this whole hoo-ha of a story where we were trying to find out where the location was, and my son, we'd had it on his phone. He'd just sort of got a phone, and he was just sitting in the back, but not realizing he was getting these messages to the new location and the exact location while we were driving there, because it was an hour away.
Right.
So I thought, we're going to miss it all. Because we got lost, you know, where we were going, got out at the wrong place. But it ended up being really good, because we missed all the official part.
Brilliant.
Which was with TV cameras. And when we got there, there were like balloons and all this sort of hullabaloo, which Dorothy ran in there and she was like, whoa, red balloons. And she kind of like flying with this whole gusto of like, woohoo!
Yeah.
And, you know, TV cameras just turned around, and I'm thinking, thank goodness we were late, because yeah. if we had to sit through that whole
too hard.
And you know, and she was like, you know, she doesn't care who he is.
No.
He came over and was like, hi, and she was just like, you know, wanting to, you know, play in the sandpit. She just didn't care who he was.
That's our Prime Minister for over peas.
Yes.
ScoMo. His name's Scott Morrison, but, you know, we just.
Everything gets shortened in Australia, yeah. so he's ScoMo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Good, because it wasn't actually about him. It was about the fact that your child now had access to this drug, and then, you know, he got to see her having some joy.
That's so, right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and she, yeah. So we've got this classic photo of, like he was pretty good. Like he bent down to her level, and he actually she had a Dorothy the dinosaur toy with her, and he knew who Dorothy was, and. We've got this photo of them all scooched down in this sandpit. So there's these politicians and they're all like crashing Yay. Down to her yeah. level.
Good, because that's how she's comfortable.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Constantly making yeah. ourselves do other people's comfortable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
But then the irony of it all is that she has access to this drug, but she couldn't swallow a tablet.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah, but come on, what happened last year?
So, yeah, so then that was one of our goals on our NDIS, and I got access to, you know, some amazing speech therapists and people who could work with me on that skill, and, yeah, we achieved it. She can now swallow a tablet.
Oh, my yes. God, this is life-changing. It was so great. We remember it.
Yeah. Yes.
The really ultra-coolest people who are in the hangout.
And
we remember.
Yes.
And that was life-changing. That's been life-changing because now she can take, because she has to have salt. They have to have about 3 to 4 teaspoons of salt a day.
Mm. Yeah.
And so now she can take her salt tablets and she can take all sorts of things now, which is amazing.
And literally life-changing.
Yes.
Literally, yeah.
Yes.
I'm not crushing it all the time, crushing tablets.
And you know that it's
portable.
The whole amount's done. You know that it's all in and we're taking the right dose.
You haven't missed any of it.
Yes, it's just that is a milestone, right?
Yep.
And let me just say there are loads of other children who are neurotypical who can't do it.
Yes.
So excellent
work.
Yeah,
well, Pepper can't swallow a tablet.
Yeah, or either Camellia. Frustrating.
So, yeah, awesome work from all of you.
But she still isn't on the medication yet because they're when the first year they go on the medication, they have to monitor their liver function and they have to have lung function tests, and there's a lot of hoops they have to jump through, and there's a better drug coming or with less side effects.
Right.
So we're kind of
waiting
for that
one.
Because then they have to have a year of testing, and if she has a year on Orkambi, then when the new drug comes out, she's going to have so there's when she has a new one, she's going to have another year of testing on that one. So we're sort of waiting.
Well, she's ready.
Yep.
For that one, which, you know, a lot of people really supported us on the campaign, and part of the reason we got to go and be part of the press conference is because I think she had over 500 submissions, which was, you know, because of all the support that people gave me.
Yes.
So thank you to all the friends.
Yeah, people are awesome.
It is to the PBAC and the PBS. Mm. On behalf of us and
thank you.
A lot of people at the Harvey Bay Uniting Church.
Yeah, churches are awesome
churches,
with stuff like
that.
That
stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, awesome.
And we can thank ScoMo, you know.
And they're
politicians do
her
good things.
Mother-in-law whether or not she's on the drug yet. you have to tell them,
You feel like lying, going, yes, it's all good.
And it's hard for her to explain why and you know.
Yeah,
so
well, the door's open
she
now.
She will get on it and she'll have a longer life because of that, which is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So fantastic.
I mean, you don't even have the words to just
no, there
describe
is no word
what
for that
means.
No.
So,
yeah. So, you know, Viv, we did say to Viv, you're probably going to need 3 or 4 episodes because Viv's story is so amazing.
It is
we
amazing.
Haven't really scratched the surface.
We never can.
No. And you can't because it's a whole how old are your beautiful girls?
They're 10.
So 10 years in an hour and a half or whatever, you know.
And we've had 50 hours.
Yeah, we've
so
had
we
that.
We know that.
We do know that. And we're really grateful that you'll give us any of your time. And your story is, it's remarkable that you've...
Well, and I'm probably not as laughing as, you know, not as funny as some of your
Nothing to do with that. We just want as many stories as possible told.
Yeah.
And the truth is that sometimes it's hard to find the laughs. And that's why Kate and I have tried to find laughs because there were so many years where we couldn't.
No, that's right.
And one of the things now that I know there's a drug that's going to extend her life, I now need to work on housing for her. So that's my next dream is to build townhouse, like basically community living for women 18 plus.
Yes.
They can live in so that
they're safe.
They're looked after by the community. Yeah. So we don't have these issues of people not being cared for. Once we are no longer around to care for them.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
It's a big thing in my head too.
It's a big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the NDIS now, you know, there's actually systems in place.
Yeah.
But there's not really the housing. So that's my dream is to build it. So anyone else who wants to help me and get in with that little lovely community project, women's only 18 plus disability housing.
That sounds amazing.
We need 500 more letters, Uniting Church.
Get to it, start fundraising.
Come on, ScoMo, you're handing out money left, right and centre at the moment. You wouldn't even notice.
Pass that bowl around the communion.
The offering plate. But everyone's got to put in 50 grand.
You can only ask, Kate. Put it out to the Lord.
That's right. Out to the universe, and you never know what they might say. So we want to thank Viv. Of course, we're still going to talk to her because we're going to do our cry difference laugh.
Yep.
So have you had anything that's made you cry this week, Viv?
Well, I just find that kindness makes me cry.
Yeah, so true.
Two stories of kindness. Kindness makes me cry, and sometimes when we go to the shops, we meet up with the local MP and they put out in a brochure that they're going to be there at a certain time.
Yep.
And we went over one day and I told her I'd buy her a lollipop if she came with me because it was completely out of routine and not in schedule and it was just not an approved kind of visit to the shops to talk to a member of parliament. Anyway, on the way over there, I must have dropped the purse with the bunny in it to buy the lollipop. So we chatted to the MP and then we went to the IGA to go and buy the lollipop. Mm-hmm. And I realised she picked a lollipop and then I realised I didn't have my purse. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, we're going to have a meltdown here.
Yep.
And I said to the young girl behind the counter, I said, look, can I please just take this lollipop now and I'll come back in about an hour and pay you, you know, when my husband's home. And she just sort of looked at me and went, no, I can't do that. And I just thought, oh, gosh, I can hear a meltdown coming. She said, but please take the lollipop and I'll pay for it out of my own money.
Oh, thank you.
That makes me cry.
My gosh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she just, it was just so, it just was so beautiful.
Yep, kindness trumps everything.
It really does.
And also when I've got some beautiful friends who are really kind, and one who, when my girls were really little and I couldn't get them, she wouldn't get in the car, she wouldn't go places, wouldn't wear shoes, and that was an issue. And she would often come and take my son to kindy because I just getting the three kids in the car and getting to school on time was huge. Yep. And she was like, I'll just grab him on the way past.
Helpful.
And so
just kindness,
helpful.
Like people who just, they see you and they go, well, what can I do? Just
and they don't expect
anything
back
in return.
Because sometimes there's nothing left to give.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what about you, Mandy? Oh, sorry, no, keep going.
No, that's my cry. So.
Okay. And are you,
mine
Mandy?
Is all in one, so I'm going to tell mine at the end.
Okay,
maybe. So you go, Kate.
So what actually has made me cry this week, and I know we always record a week early, so everyone's hearing this a week late, but the world's just been in a really sad place.
Yes.
We've had people, being murdered, and we've had protests, and we have coronavirus, and we've had, children lost and found and
people with disabilities dying. Being neglected.
But from neglect.
Being abused.
And yep. I just had a day or two ago where I just cried and cried and thought, yes. This is too much, yes. You know. And I don't know, I think if you haven't felt sad over the last couple of weeks, you need to have a really good hard look at yourself.
Yes.
Truly. Yes. It's been really sad yes, and it's been it a has. Real moment to reflect and to decide, am I complicit? Am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right things? Am I helping out? What am yes. I doing actually with my life?
Yes.
So I think, yeah, that was my cry this yeah. week. So has anything made a difference for you, Viv?
I mean, I listened, you guys have introduced me to podcasts.
Great. And,
you have. And now there's Brené Brown who's.
Yes.
She's just my person. Like
she's amazing,
isn't
she?
She's the one that made me realize I was numbing my feelings.
Yes.
And she's got this amazing thing about numbing your feelings. And then she also talks about, you know, like loneliness and the three dimensions of loneliness. And she also, she interviews some really interesting people
yeah,
and she
amazing.
Also had one on racism.
Yes, I listened
yes.
to
her. I was listening to that and she just really interviews the most interesting people and I just find that I can just learn so much from her. You guys are my when we laugh and I feel that I can feel all the emotions with you guys and you've really helped me with my whole been able to talk about my journey.
Good.
Or be able to, you know, just be a bit more vulnerable with yes. everything that I've, you know, gone through. But Brené Brown helps me just work through some of those.
Yeah.
She's got a book called The Gifts of Imperfection.
She's actually qualified.
She's qualified, see? We're just talking. No, we love her too.
No, I love her too.
And P's right. often right. send me little
it's called
quotes.
Unlocking Us is the name of her podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it'll
you
be in the show
natural.
Notes. I don't know, but she's amazing and it's yep. really great to find people that help you through.
Yeah,
and
that's
she's
and you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
But she hasn't spoken about disability and neither has like Lee Sayles, like her book that I read as
Any
well.
Any Ordinary Day.
It's a great book, but
beautiful
sometimes
book.
People, something, one thing happens to them, whereas for us it's an ongoing.
Yes.
Like, the when you have a diagnosis of CF and then, you know, the characteristics
journey.
Of autism and then the yeah. ID and all that sort of thing, it's an ongoing kind of,
mm-hmm.
yes.
I suppose.
Yeah, it's different. It's not just a one
journey.
Thing. Yep.
Which is different to one event.
That's very true.
That might have happened, like, to, you know, the Fredbo landslide
yes.
type thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm going to off topic, but how did you find us, Viv? How did you hear about us?
Oh, so my friend Lou, who you've met, she messaged me and then everyone was messaging me about it because I fit your category.
Yes, you do.
You do. We made it for you. That's fine.
Wow. Like, yep. Like, oh, my gosh, there's a podcast and it's twins and it's.
Okay.
And that's what I am. Like, yes. I'm everything that
you
are.
You are. You really are. Well, thanks, Lou.
Yeah, well yeah. done,
I took
Lou.
All the boxes for once.
Yeah. Yay. That's what we wanted.
Yes.
I was like, so I'm sick of being the people that don't tick boxes.
Yes. Yeah.
You're in.
Because in the, like, if you have just a child with CF,
yeah.
then you don't fit, like, I just never,
yeah,
I don't
because
really
you
fit
had,
in only
you had
in,
all those boxes.
In the
yeah.
different worlds because there are some things about that with CF I can't be part of, you know, the different special needs world because yeah. of her aversion to mucus.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I think that's.
Yeah, anyway.
I was saying to Mandy before, and I this is accidental. We weren't like geniuses, but there's a lot of groups that I'm in that are specific to things that affect my children or me in life. But the P's is everybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how great that was.
No.
What a gift for us all to come together and realize our amazing strengths that have come from that community. And, yeah, it's just been remarkable. So, yeah.
We're glad you found us.
We're so glad you found us. Okay, so yeah. my make a difference is, well, firstly, I had some friends over and we danced in the pod bar.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is what I live for. It's free and it's fun and we take Polaroids and we love it. But
so
secondly,
good.
My second make a difference was I went to a beautiful friend, Michelle's house for dinner and she listens to the podcast
Aww.
And she's just a you know, one of those beautiful people, and yeah. She's so awesome. And she had listened to the podcast where, and if you haven't listened, you'll just have to go back and find it. It's in a Snap Pea, I think, where I'd spoken about a school teacher giving Chupa Chups out to the kids that were engaged during the Microsoft Teams yes. or Zooms. Anyway, and so I'm sitting there having dinner and she just walks over with this huge bag of Chupa Chups.
Oh.
And she just gives it to me and she goes, I'm pretty sure the people that invented Chupa Chups never meant them to not be inclusive.
Oh,
I know. I could cry thinking about it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anyway, and so I got home a little bit late and I went into Woody's bedroom the next morning and I was like, I've got something for you and it's pretty amazing. And he's under the doona and because he likes to watch his iPad under the yeah. doona. He goes, oh, what is it? Anyway, I said, well, look what Michelle gave you. Anyway, he laughed and laughed. I thought I'd have to like tell him that, retell him the story, but he
but
remembered.
Got it.
And he said, this is the greatest gift ever. And just straight breakfast, straight into that Chupa Chup.
No.
And it was, anyway.
Thoughtful.
Thoughtful. And fun. He thought it was funny too.
Kindness.
Like he's like, ha ha, I've got a Chupa
kind.
And kindness.
Yes.
And I don't know why I didn't think yeah. you're doing that for him. But anyway, she did and it was
mediocre.
It was better. I'm mediocre. She's good.
She's
and
awesome.
It was, yes, it was really good. Okay. And did anything make you laugh, Viv?
Oh, look, we laugh all the time. We
yes.
laugh all the time. Like,
yeah.
On the weekend we were doing some painting and, you know, Dorothy, the reason I'm calling her Dorothy is because she loves Dorothy the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And she's very clever. Like she'll say, oh, Mummy, can you go get, you know, I need the Dorothy tail. And so I'll run inside to get the Dorothy tail while she's painting. And then I come out and she's started painting her face green and putting yellow spots on her.
Yes.
And she just, you just have to laugh.
Yes,
you do.
Wants to.
Yeah, and it's joy.
She just so much joy in her,
yeah.
In her innocence of life and her,
yeah.
you know, she loves flowers and wants to give people flowers, which is really tricky during COVID. But
yeah,
she's just so happy and singing and just, she just makes us laugh with little antics and.
Yeah, it's the best.
Well,
yes.
yeah, it is. And this, what I always say, if you don't have a person in your life like that, you're missing out.
You are missing
because
out.
Because it's.
Yes.
And if you're not friends with anyone like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have that joy in your life.
You
it
don't
must
have
be very
the joy.
Boring.
It must be very boring.
No.
So come and hang out with our
yeah,
families
come hang
more.
Out with us. Yeah, listen to the
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll do my laugh and then Mandy can finish it up with the whole big
yeah,
paragraph.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that amazing. It's just that it fits in all
no,
three.
No. Everything you say is amazing. So my laugh this week was I have been driving the boys to school on the 2 days that they've been going.
Yeah.
They're back on the bus this week. And I drove and I just drove straight past the turnoff. You know, I don't
yeah,
know. I was
you
just
were thinking.
I was thinking.
Just daydreaming.
Yeah. And Woody goes, I think, were we supposed to turn there? And I was like, oh, gosh, yes. And he goes, well, you know what? I've never been down here before, so that's a good thing, isn't it? Like, he was building me up and I said, it is a good thing. Anyway, and I had to do a U-turn and I sort of went on the gravel and I didn't spin out, but I sort of accelerated to get back into the traffic and we just did a tiny little burnout or whatever. And he goes to me, well, and you know what else is good? And I said, what? And he goes, well, it's pretty good that we don't have a low Lamborghini because I don't think we could have pulled that move off, Mum.
For you.
Thank God we don't have that Lamborghini. I just thought, why did you think of that?
I don't
we
know,
just laughed the whole way to school about so good we don't have a Lamborghini.
It just made the whole moment so much better.
So much better.
Oh,
so,
that
yeah.
is so cute.
And it was really cute. So we went the wrong way, but it was all good in
lucky
the end.
Lucky you don't have a Lamborghini.
Lucky I didn't have a Lamborghini.
Yeah, you better not buy one.
I've really decided not to. I've crossed it off. It's not on the vision board anymore.
Okay, my cry, make a difference life. Obviously my cry is the same thing as Kate in the heaviness in the world.
Yeah.
But I might have talked about that in the snap piece.
Yeah.
So for me it was Queer Eye is back. New season. You can go back to last year's episode when Queer Eye came out and I'm saying the same
yes,
thing.
Yes, you are.
It ticks all the boxes.
Yep.
I'm crying. I'm laughing. Molly and I love it. And Miss Nine, we just sit there
Yay.
And we watch all the episodes
yep.
and they and every time I say, oh, I love Bobby. Mum, you always say that. Oh, I love Tan. Mum, you love all of them. Just the life-changing, they make me laugh. They're
yeah.
ridiculous, but they don't they help people see things in themselves, but they're not actually making them change too much of themselves.
No, and they're not mean. They're kind.
They're not mean. Yeah. They're kind.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Go and watch it, everyone. I put it in the Hangout. I was like, emergency broadcast. Watch it.
It's back, baby.
It's back. I'm going to talk about it whenever it comes on.
Yep.
I've got a few more episodes to go.
I do love it too. Yeah.
Oh, just and dripping tears.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And we need some diversions.
Well, I felt like they came in a good time. You know how the Lego thing came at a good time? Queer Eye came in a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing we're going to say before we go, Peas, is that our beautiful merch guy, Luke, has the tracksuits are out.
The tracksuits. I've ordered two pairs.
Of course, Mandy has. I haven't quite clicked that button myself yet. But
there's new windcheaters, new t-shirts.
The windcheaters are so cute. You have to go look at them. It's on our website.
Yes.
I'll be linking the show notes and you just hit P Store.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy them, but just go have a look.
He designed it. We don't come up with this stuff.
No.
And so does it say? Cry, make a difference, laugh.
Oh, my gosh. And they're beautiful. Like, I cannot wait to wear one.
Some new tote bags.
Yeah.
So we've got the eat, sleep, therapy, repeat. I wanted to make one for people going to hospital.
Yep.
So it says eat, sleep, hospital, repeat.
Yep. And I think all the professionals.
Yeah.
You know, pediatrician. Carry the I think I'm going to get one for Shane.
I think we'll just make up as many as we want, as long as Luke's okay.
I'll get one for my pediatrician that I don't go to anymore.
Yeah. What about eat, sleep, out of rectum, repeat? There we go.
Just a big poo emoji.
And we just give them to the people and say, work it out.
Yeah.
So have a look at our merch. Support Luke.
Yes, yeah, support
his business.
Luke. Yep.
And also you would have heard us at the start talk a little bit about the new supporter.
Yeah, so you can hop on board with that. It's just it's in the show notes every week. It's a single donation. So you can give nothing. You can give $2. You can give whatever you want. It's not like a Patreon that comes out every week. It's just whenever you think, and you don't have to do it. No. Nothing will change.
We've always said we're not going to do anything like this because we don't want to then say
exclusive.
If you pay, then you get extra stuff.
No,
we don't have time, and we don't want to leave
all of our
person out.
We've been out enough.
So exactly. So it's not any inclusion exclusion. It's just if you'd like to give us a bit of support, that helps us pay sound engineer, which I paid him the other day. It felt so good.
No, we've paid him people.
I've paid my brother for the song.
Yes.
We've paid Andy for the website.
Yes.
So that feels great.
Yes.
You know?
So we can, Manny and I don't mind not being paid for the podcast.
No.
We love it and we love talking to you.
But we want
to
pay
really
people
have
that
to
help
pay
us.
People that help us.
Yeah, I'd like to give Arca something.
Yeah. Arca, you know, Bryony does heaps of work.
Yes, that's
so
right. Exactly.
There are people that we would like to help. So that's where that money would go.
Yes.
But you don't have to donate. We don't know whether you do or you don't.
No, that's
right. So it's all good. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you, Viv.
Keep rating and reviewing. Thank you, Viv.
Yep, rate and review. And we'll chat to you soon, Viv.
Keep up your amazing advocating.
Thank you, Viv.
Yes.
See you, everyone.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.